As parents, me and Sarah, we were slightly ahead of the curve on that one. So when our children were very little, they used to get a lot of eggs. But as good parents, we couldn't let them eat all of those. And we had to intercede for them. And I'm sure you, those parents here amongst us are doing or have done the same. No? Okay, well, I do like an Easter egg. When I was little, I used to be slightly disappointed when I tapped them because I always wished that they were solid chocolate all the way through. But you know what? I had a little look into the background of the Easter egg. And of course, we have the chocolate egg now and the inspired by things like the Fabergé eggs a couple of hundred years ago. But really, the egg has been associated with Easter Sunday for many, many years. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is because it represents new birth. But the other reason is that as you crack open the empty eggshell, you've got an empty tomb, a little empty tomb there. And it's to remind us that that tomb was empty on this Easter Sunday morning, okay? And so so now I try to put aside my disappointment with the chocolate egg. And as I bust into it, I remember, hey, this is pointing to the fact that Jesus is alive. And so I've been given a TED Talk opportunity, thank you there, Tim, to just spend a bit of time thinking about why we celebrate Easter Sunday, and particularly why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And I just want to propose really three things. One, that it's great news. It was great news then, it's great news for the future, and it's great news for today. But of course, to understand about Jesus' resurrection, we just perhaps just need to spend a moment considering Jesus' death. Jesus, the finest man who ever has and ever will walk this planet, came to the end of his time on earth, and he had the crowds on Palm Sunday cheering him, celebrating him and with him. But he knew things were going to take a nasty turn, and we know on Good Friday that things turned bad for Jesus. The Pharisees, the Jews, his own people conspired and organized to have him killed. One of his followers, Judas, for cash in hand, betrayed him to death. His disciples abandoned him when things got tough. We saw there on the little video, disciples abandoned him all alone. And the ruling powers, the tyrants of the time, the Roman Empire, organized to brutally torture Jesus, to nail him to a cross, to hang him where everybody could see him, and let him watch while he died a slow and agonizing death. And through all of that, he carried on top of that all of the wrongdoing, all of the sin, all the mistakes of mankind. He bore all of that lot on the cross. The worst that humanity could throw at him was thrown at him on Good Friday, and he died. And they buried him, and he was gone. And then we have those couple of days, Friday night and Saturday. Saturday night, disciples must have been in an absolute pickle. Desperate remorse, guilt for abandoning him, loss of their leader, loss of hope, lack of direction, huge disappointment. But then we get to Easter Sunday. And Mary goes and finds the empty tomb and goes back with the great news. Hey, he's not dead. He's alive. And God has raised Jesus from death, from complete barbaric death, to new life. Not revived, not refitted, not just brought him back to how he was, brought him back to a new life. That's the resurrection. And that was exciting then, exciting now. The resurrection was really important. And as we look back at that day 2,000 years ago, we need to remember it points to a number of important things. For one, this isn't it. The earth around us, our days, our 24/7, the way we do life, there's more to the world than just this stuff. There is a spiritual dimension. There's a God and he's doing something. The resurrection points strongly to that. And of course, secondly, I just want to say that, and this is really resonates for me as I look at the news today, the resurrection says that the tyrants of this world do not have the last say, you know? And the powers, the big world powers even, they don't have the last say in this world. Jesus' resurrection does. Okay? And God can and will always win out. I tell you what, it was good news then. But also, the resurrection of Jesus is good news for tomorrow as well. Because the resurrection brings a future hope for us. This is what the Bible says. This is what Paul wrote to the Romans themselves, the Roman Christians. He said this phrase, that the wages of sin is death. The payout, the payback for sin is death. What do we mean by sin? What we mean by that, we mean selfishness. We mean self-centeredness. We mean taking care of ourselves rather than taking care of others. Putting ourselves first rather than putting God first. That's really what sin means. And it outworks with the things that we think, the things that we say, and the things that we do. It outworks through the things that we don't bother to think, don't bother to say, and the things we don't bother to do. And we know that none of us here have a clean sheet in these areas. And what the Bible teaches is that the payback for that is death, separation from God. But you know what? The Bible also says that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You know? So it doesn't just finish with death. It can finish with life. For those who seek out and find Jesus, there's a hope for eternity. Most of us here will have experienced the loss and pain of bereavement. For some, that's a present experience for you. Some of us will be considering our own mortality. Maybe maybe people have had some bad news. Maybe they've just been counting the days that they've had, thinking about the days that they have ahead of them. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. The resurrection is good news for our tomorrows because it doesn't matter what happens at the end. The payback for us should be death, but it doesn't need to be. The payback for us should be separation from God. But for those who know and believe in Christ, there is a resurrection after death that brings us back to him. Jesus went before us and he did it. There's a hope for the future. Things can be hard in this life, but there's a hope for the next. Yeah? So Easter Sunday is a demonstration. It's good. The gospel is good news for the future. But also I want to suggest to you that the resurrection of Christ is really good news for today as well. Because this is what Paul said again to the Romans. He says that when we choose to follow Christ, okay, when we choose to follow him and put him first, we are buried with him in order that we too can be raised to a new life. Not just at the end of our lives, but in this life. The Bible teaches if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So the resurrection of Jesus is something that we can connect to and be a part of that can bring a new life to us today, a resurrection life. It's wonderful news. We can be spiritually alive, spiritually close to God. That can be a daily experience. I got this phrase from the video. We can have a forever living friend, which is Jesus Christ. This is good news. The resurrection of Christ. The book of Colossians talks about us being, as we're raised with Christ, we can take off the old self and put on the new. The old us that carried all of the old stuff can be taken off. How many people need to take off a load of old stuff from their life and need to put on something new? I would suggest that we all do. Colossians says this, says the old stuff can be taken off. Things, those actions, the sinful, the actions, selfish actions, when we've taken care of ourselves, when we should have taken care of others. The things that we've done that we know to be wrong. The things that we haven't done, which we've known that we should have done, that we've known to be wrong. The things that we've said and the things that we've thought. All of that old self can be taken off. And what's more, the legacy of things we've done, the things we've not done, the things that people may have done to us. The things that people may have said to us, the legacy of hurt and the scars and the pain of those, they can be taken off. There's power to remove those through the resurrection of Christ. And to put on a new self. That new self, not the best of who I could be on a good day, because trust me, that ain't very good. And you may feel similarly about yourselves, or even me. But the new self, which is being recreated in the image of God, put on a new self, the hallmarks which are love, forgiveness, strength, hope. Now that's a new self worth having. I want to take off the old self in every sense and put on the new that's being renewed by him in his image to be more like him. That new creation that comes through the resurrection of Jesus. Listen, folks, I believe that Easter Sunday is very worth celebrating because of the great day it was then, because the hope it gives for us in the future and the new creation that we can have and a new life that we can have in Christ today. But how do I get a hold of that? How do we apprehend that for ourselves? I'm just going to tell you a little story. You might have heard this before, but it proves it a useful illustration. Some years ago, a bunch of guys said to me, would you like to come on a caving expedition? And I thought, that sounds like a good idea. It sounds like fun. I've seen Journey to the Center of the Earth. You probably abseil into an extinct volcano and climb over some boulders. When I arrived at the starting point, I realized I was very wrong. I looked around. Everybody was wearing wetsuits, apart from me. I was in corduroys and a Packamack and wellies. I thought, I'm not fully equipped for this, but never mind. There was no extinct volcano. There was just a little hole in the ground, and we had to crawl into it one after the other. And I realized that I don't really like confined spaces that much. And we just went down and down, and there were things like these, like gaps like this, and you had to just crawl your body through and drag your body through. They'd say to me, don't turn left there. Somebody slipped down there. They never got the body out. They had to fill it with concrete. So we kept going. We had to climb down these ladders in waterfalls and round bends and through holes and crawling through these caverns where there's this much air above a water level. And, you know, we went on and on and on through the twists and the turns in the darkness and the Packamack rustling away. And we got to this cave at the end. And the roof met the floor and there was like a pool of water. And the guy who was leading it said, right, this is a dead end, okay? We need to go through this underwater tunnel to get back out again. Nobody had told me about this prior to going, okay? I would have worn flip-flops instead of wellies, I think. So, and he said, this is what you do. And he got in the water in his wetsuit. He laid down in it. He took a deep breath and he just plunged underneath. And he had a rope and he pulled himself along through a tunnel and up the other side. And as I stood in the cave, I thought, my options are to try and sort myself out, go another way, or to follow him. Going another way wasn't an option. I would have just blundered around in the dark and made no progress at all. So my only choice was to get in the water, bobbing around because my Packamack was full of air, take the plunge, dip, and then pull along this rope underwater. As I made that decision to do that, I could see a little light ahead of me from this guy's head torch. Within moments, I felt he's a big guy, two massive hands on my shoulders, and he ripped me through this tunnel and out the other side. Yeah? And I'm alive today. Getting tense just talking about it. But it was great. But do you know what? The reason I tell this story is because I believe that, for me, I was stumbling around. Before I met God, I was stumbling around through life, and I came to a point of a dead end. And I believe we all need to come to a point where we recognize we've reached a dead end. In ourselves, we can go no further. And if we want to get out of that dark place and get out of the cave, the only way out is to follow the leader through his death and his resurrection. That's what the gospel call is for us, is to recognize our lostness and hopelessness. And then all we've got to do is decide to take the plunge. And it's hard and you can't get through by yourself, but trust me, if you take the plunge, pull a little bit towards Jesus, he'll get a hold of you and he'll pull you through to resurrection life. Okay? And that's why I think we should be celebrating Easter today. Tim, why don't you come and tell us a bit about your story?
Cool, thanks for that, Mark. So I'm just going to share a little bit about my story, a bit about how life was before I met Jesus, how I met Jesus and how life is now after I've met him. And at the end of that, I just want to say, I want to give anyone the opportunity who wants to start a new life with Jesus today. We're going to have a chance to do that at the end. And I believe we're born with an emptiness and a brokenness inside of us. Mark was talking about sin, and I believe that the Bible calls that emptiness that we experience sin. It separates us from God. And from a young age, I remember feeling that sense of emptiness and brokenness in my life. So when I was about 10, I used to go to Cubs. I used to enjoy it. And at the end of the group, I always remember waiting for my mum and dad to come and collect me. One night, it was dark, it was winter, the centre was shut, and the lights were all switched off. And I was the last one to be collected by my mum and dad. 10 minutes passed, 20 minutes passed, 30 minutes passed. And we waited and waited, and no one came. And I remember there must have been some calls made to see if they were coming. And it turns out they'd forgotten about me. But even from a young age, I remember feeling like they didn't love me. You know, like my parents didn't love me, like they didn't care, like I wasn't important. You know, that sense of waiting and them not turning up, me always being the last one to be collected. And the reality is, and was that I'm from a family of seven, so there were lots of kids about. Now I'm a parent, and we've got three kids under four. I get how they forgot about me. But at the time, it felt like this emptiness and this brokenness. So the same year when I was in year six, I was a big lad. I always remember I weighed 6 stone when I was in year six. I was chubby, and you get to that age where you begin to realise you're more chubbier than everyone else in the class. There was a guy in the year above me that was even bigger than me. For some reason, he took a dislike to me and just started bullying me. He wanted to fight me. And this kind of built and built over time. To one point after school, I remember some friends saying, "He's outside and it's going to happen. It's going off." And I just remember feeling the pressure of it building over those kind of weeks that was happening. Didn't feel like I could speak to my mum or my teachers about it. I felt that loneliness. I felt the kind of emptiness of being bullied, I guess. I remember the day that it was due to kind of happen after school, and some friends just choosing to walk out with me, one to my left and one to my right, kind of protecting me. And for some reason, I don't know why, but we walked straight past that guy. Nothing happened that day. And looking back, I can see God's hand helping me out when I was unable to help myself out in that situation. So I met Jesus through friends at a youth group when I was a teenager. I got baptized when I was 18. And for me, at that point, I felt like I had a brand new life. I was filled with God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit. I changed some things, but I didn't change everything and fully changed the way I was living to follow Jesus. So at 19, I went to uni and just started doing the uni thing, going to parties, drinking as much as I could drink, taking drugs, as many as I could take, and generally just going with the crowd, being in relationship after relationship. And I got to a point where I kind of hit rock bottom. What the world offered me left me feeling empty, it left me feeling broken, and it left me feeling hurting. And it was the complete opposite of what I'd experienced when I was following God a few years before that. I'd experienced Him, and I knew I had, and I knew I needed that back in my life. So one summer, I felt Him say to me, "You can't have one foot with me and one foot in the world." I had to make a choice. It was either give myself fully to Him or not. So I made a decision to commit myself back to Him. And my life began to change. My lifestyle began to change from that point. And now I feel completely new. I feel like my old life has been buried, that I've been given a new life in Jesus. And there's challenges. There's always challenges. There's always emptiness. But we can know His love day by day. We can know His joy. We can know His peace day by day when we're following Jesus. It's also a life of adventure. I love Mark's analogy. It's an adventure, isn't it, to take that decision, to step into that relationship. And following Jesus will cost you your life, but you'll gain so much more. You gain life to the full, and you gain eternal life. So I just want to invite the band back up, and we're going to sing a song in a minute. So if the band want to come up, that'd be great.